Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you would, go ahead and get your Bible. We're going to get right into the Word of God today. I don't want to waste any of your time. Your time is precious. It's a gift that God has given to each and every one of us. So grab your Bible, stand to your feet. Some of you guys are regulars. You know you went ahead and stood up. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 10 through 20. This is a letter from Paul to the church in Ephesus, and he has already given them much encouragement and some instruction in this letter. And as he begins to wrap up this letter in chapter 6, we find that he tells us about the armor of God. And we're going to read this morning concerning the armor of God and discuss a little bit of what it means and how we can apply it to our life. It's an area that I would encourage each and every one of you to right now give your attention to this, because I feel that this is what God is saying to us as a church. And it's something that no matter what season of life you may be in, and last week we talked about seasons. Seasons come, seasons go. God is the ordainer of the times and the seasons. But one thing we know is this, is in every season there's something that we need to learn, and in every season we need to be dressed for success. We need the armor of God in every single season. You will not have one season of your life where this passage of scripture, this truth that God has revealed to us, is not applicable to your life. We need the armor of God. And so we're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all," somebody say all, "the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Pray with me if you would today. Father, I thank you that as we look to your word, it gives us instruction and training in righteousness. It helps us to know what we have need of, what we're lacking, what you want to give to us, what we have access to that we would not know if it were not for your word. So thank you for revealing it to us. I pray that today we would look into the perfect law of liberty and we would not walk away and forget what it says, but we would be doers of the word of God, and that you would dress us in righteousness, you would dress us in the whole armor of God that we need to withstand the enemy in the day and age that we're living in today. We love you and we thank you that we get to be together in the house of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated today. My title for today is Dress for Success. And this is going to be a series that we're going to go through for the next few weeks as we wrap up the year. And we're going to talk about what it means to be dressed for success. As Paul writes to us in the book of Ephesians, and he talks to us about putting on the whole armor of God. And that phrase, dress for success, it's an idiom that I'm sure you've all heard of before. But the idea of dressing for success, let's talk about it naturally for a moment. It may differ from job to job or activity to activity. Right? Like you may say one person is dressed for success because of the type of job they have, but another person, their dressing for success may look completely different because their job is completely different. It's like Caleb is a farmer. Caleb doesn't need to show up to drive a combine in a three-piece suit, right? Like that would be out of place. That would actually be wasteful. It wouldn't make any sense for him to show up, but it wouldn't make any sense for someone that is a politician or the CEO of a company to show up in farm clothes and an old t-shirt and in old ratty jeans, because you use what you are wearing based on what it is that you're going to need to do or get done that day. So dressing for success, it changes and it varies from occupation to occupation or activity to activity. For example, ski shoes would not be very good for snorkeling, right? You need those little flipper things that you can put on the end of your... Pastor Jeff knows. He's a big snorkeler, right? And so he when he goes snorkeling, he uses those flippers on the end of his feet. But he wouldn't use ski shoes because those actually lock your ankles, and it would actually probably be hazardous if you were to jump in and decide, I'm going to go snorkeling in my ski boots, right? And, you know, a bathing suit would be a terrible decision to climb Mount Everest in. Right? Like that wouldn't be what you would outfit yourself with if you were going to climb the highest in a very cold mountain. You know, in order to properly enjoy or be the most effective at what you're doing, you have to dress properly. Thankfully, getting dressed is an essential part of life. When I say thankfully, I really mean thankfully. It's an essential part of life. You don't know how glad the people are around you that you chose to get dressed this morning. Some of y'all didn't know you had so much to be thankful for. You start looking around, you're like, thank God I don't have to see that person without clothes on, because I wouldn't eat for a week, right? I mean, it's just disgusting that I can't, you know. And so you found new things already to be grateful for this morning. You're just so thankful. How many of y'all are thankful everybody put clothes on this morning? Thank God everybody's got clothes on. According to Ephesians chapter 6, getting dressed spiritually is essential for successful godly living. Just like if you were to show up at work tomorrow unclothed, I have no doubt you would not need to show up at work on Tuesday, because your job would be terminated. They'd be like, no, they're crazy. They're not working here anymore, right? It's essential that you get dressed so that you can be effective and you can carry out the job that you've been hired to do. In the same way, in our spiritual lives, if we're going to be effective and we're going to enjoy this life and live godly and successful, we have to dress for success. And we've been given a dress code in Ephesians chapter 6 that breaks down exactly what it is that God wants us to wear so that we can be who he's called us to be as the body of Christ. Now, while natural dress codes may differ from occupation to occupation, moment to moment, there is a spiritual dress code that's given by God, and it applies to every single one of us all the time, right? Brother Dale and I were talking this morning. He said it hasn't quite gotten cold enough for him to break out his winter clothes just yet, and I understand that. But there will be a time when you're going to need your winter clothes because it's going to get so cold. Now, today it's going to be up in the 60s, but we've already been warned that we're going to have a cold, cold winter. And if you don't dress properly, you will be miserable for one, and you also will become susceptible to the elements of the weather. So cold weather is on its way in, right? The season has changed, which... If you know, how many of you guys are born and raised in Alabama like me? What do we say about Alabama? If you don't like the weather, just wait 10 minutes. It'll change, right? So like it'll be 60 one day and it'll be 23 the next day. And I don't know what is up with that, but that's just how it kind of happens to work. And so, you know, we've had spurts of cold weather and then it'll get warm again. But we've been warned that we're going to have a very cold winter. And if you do not dress properly in cold weather, and most Southerners do not. You know why most Southerners don't dress properly in cold weather? Because about the time you buy a coat, you don't need it anymore, right? And so I couldn't tell you, every time it's cold, you'll see somebody walking like this and like, I ain't got no coat. And you're like, why won't you buy a coat? And they're like, because by the time I buy a coat, it'll be warm again, right? Like by the time I finally come to that conclusion. And so if you stay out in the cold too long without the proper clothing, you will become susceptible to illness, frostbite, pneumonia, hypothermia, all because why? You weren't dressed properly. If you showed up to play football in a soccer uniform, I have no doubt you would be injured. You would get hurt. There, somebody's going to crash into you with their pads and their helmet. You're going to get hurt. If you show up to work on a construction site in a custom-tailored Italian suit, you are going to be, number one, judged, and number two, you're probably not going to be very effective in the job that you're doing. You need to dress for the occasion, which leads me to this question today. How much of our failure to lead godly, successful lives is due to the fact that we do not dress properly? Maybe because we don't understand it. Maybe you've read this passage before and you know you could quote the armor of God, because if you grew up like me, I grew up in church. And when I say in church, like I literally grew up in church. And we had this little plastic armor of God. We had a helmet of salvation and a breastplate of righteousness. We had the belt of truth. We had these little shin guards that went over your feet. And our favorite part was the sword of the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to say we use the helmet too much or the breastplate too much, but we sure got a lot of use out of the sword of the Spirit. But it wasn't used in spiritual matters. It was used for whacking other people with. But we grew up and we heard a lot about the armor of God, the armor of God. But the thing is, if we are not properly trained in how to dress ourselves in the armor of God, then we will be improperly prepared for what it is that God wants us to do and have in life. So how much of it is because we don't have the knowledge of how to dress properly? How much of it is maybe just we don't have the willingness? Because maybe you know this scripture. Maybe you know it backwards and forwards. You could tell me and you could quote to me all these different things. But if you are not willing to take the time and get dressed properly and dress yourself spiritually, then you will leave yourself open and susceptible to temptation, to the work of the enemy, to the attack that he's bringing. And once the Apostle Paul told us to put on the whole armor, and once he told us to take up the whole armor, why? So that we can withstand the wiles of the enemy. Without the armor of God and getting dressed, you and I are just not strong enough to withstand the wiles of the enemy. And listen, he's still real and he's still trying to wreak havoc in your life. He still wants to find every place, any opening that he can bring issues and problems and things in your life to tempt you and to draw you away. Not just suffering, not just hardship, because sometimes God will allow suffering. Sometimes God will allow hardship. He will allow us to be tested in our life. But I'm talking about temptation. I'm talking about stuff that will draw you away from God, get you out of his will, get you out of his plan for your life. He's looking for those areas, and those are the wiles that he's trying to use to get in there and to wreak havoc in your life so that you will turn away from God. And Paul says, without putting on and taking up the whole armor of God, you won't be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy. But if you do, if you are dressed properly, let me remind you of this today, because I always want to look for the positive element to everything. If you are dressed properly, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to worry. There is nothing that can stand against the power of God. And he gave us the key to dressing properly in this passage. And I know that this may seem like a weird time of year to do this kind of series. You know, you're like, why are we not talking about baby Jesus? Why are we not talking about Mary and Joseph? Like, where's the donkey? Where's the star and the three wise men? Well, the reason that I feel like God has put this on my heart is because the holidays are supposed to be a time of joy. They're supposed to be a time of peace, that we celebrate the gift of Jesus, you know, peace and goodwill to men. But the enemy has hijacked the holidays. And I've noticed, especially over the past few years, that the holidays become such a time of stress for so many people, that what's supposed to be peaceful becomes tormenting. What's supposed to be joyful becomes like, I just want it all to be over. I don't want anymore. Maybe you have a conflict in your family. Maybe you have something going on. And so I want you to have what we talked about 2 weeks ago, a profusion of peace in your life. I want you to have an abundance of peace. I want you to have joy. I want you to be able to look back on these holidays this year and remember that there may have been some things that were going wrong, but I had peace. I had righteousness. I had joy in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I'm a member of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so therefore, I may have had some struggles. I may have had some difficulties. Everything might not have been right, but I had peace. I had joy. I was able to withstand. I did everything I could to stand, and I still continued standing because I was dressed properly for the day and the age that I was in. And though the enemy tried to come and he tried to take me out, we're still here. We're still serving God. We're still happy. We're still holy. We're still serving him. We're still in the kingdom of God because we were dressed properly. So today, we're going to cover what it means to put on and to take up the whole armor of God. In the coming weeks, we'll unpack the different elements or portions of the actual armor, whether it's the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel, peace. We'll begin to unpack those as we get into it. But today, I want to talk about what it means to put on and to take up the whole armor of God. Because if we miss this, I could break down to you what all these mean. But if I were to lay things out here, it's like, you know, if you've never played hockey and you've never played goalie, if they brought in the equipment for a goalie and laid it on the stage, you probably wouldn't know what goes where, what to put on, you know, what to do with it or how to use it. And so hopefully today I'm going to educate you through the Word of God how to put on and take up the armor so that once we talk about what the armor is, you're like, oh, I know how to use that. I know how to apply that to my life. So Paul says this. He says, finally, my brethren. It's almost like he's saying, I finally got to the point. I wrote all this other stuff to you, and it's all good. It's all great. It's there for you. But I'm about to bring it home, and I'm about to really let you guys know why I wrote this letter to you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You may say, I don't know how. How do I be strong in the Lord? I would love to be strong in the Lord. I'm tired of feeling weak. I'm tired of feeling empty. I'm tired of being broken. And here's this guy writing a couple thousand years ago, and he's saying, hey man, be strong in the Lord, but I don't really know how to do that. I don't understand what that means. I want the strength that comes from God, but right now, honestly, I feel depleted, and I'm not sure if I can take the next step. I'm not really sure where I'm going or what I'm doing. So you may say, be strong in the Lord. What does that mean? How do I do that? Thankfully, Paul tells us how we can be strong. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might because the next verse says, put on the whole armor of God. So you may say, well, I want strength. I want the power of God. If you do not follow to the next step of putting on the armor, you'll miss the strength that God is wanting to equip you with. And so he says, put on the whole armor of God. This word whole in the Greek is the word panoplia. In English, it's the word panoply. In fact, there's a festival in Huntsville in April, I think, of each year that's called Panoply, and it's an art festival. But the word panoplia in the Greek, it means this. It means a complete set of both defensive and offensive armor. And the reason that so often we feel weak when he commands us to be strong is because we are ill-equipped and we don't have the proper defensive or offensive weapons needed because we have not put on the whole armor of God. So he's saying, take up and put up the whole armor. So when it says whole armor, it's actually just one word in the Greek, and it's the word panoplia, and it means that this armor that God is providing, it is a complete set. He doesn't say take up pieces of the armor. He says take up the panoplia. The word panoplia, it's like, have you ever seen a whole suit of armor? Maybe in like a medieval suit of honor, and it's got every single thing. That is the word for it is panoply. Now, our definition of panoply has changed, but in the old English, panoply, when you saw a suit of armor, you said that's a panoply. And it means this, what Paul is saying. It's a complete set. That means nothing is missing and nothing is broken. Have you ever gotten something before and you were excited to get it and you opened it up and there were missing pieces or it was broken? The armor of God that he's giving to you, there's nothing missing from it. There's nothing broken in it. It is every single thing that you need. It is complete and total, ready to give you the means necessary both to defend and to offend against the enemy. And both times that we're instructed to take up or to put on the armor, it is done so in the manner with this word, panoplia. So he says, I want you to put on and I want you to take up the whole thing because it's not some of it. It's not partial. It's not pieced. It's not like a pieced together offering of God. Much like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, it's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is living and dwelling inside of you, you don't just have love. You've got love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness. He gives all of it because he's not a God that says, you get a little bit of this and you get a little bit of that. He said, I'm not just giving you the helmet of salvation. I'm giving you the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. I'm going to give you every single thing that you need. It's complete and it's total. It's not partial. It's not pieced together. It's not lacking anything. It's every single thing that you need. So Paul's saying this also. When he instructs us and commands us to put on the whole armor of God, what he's doing is he's saying, do not pick and choose. Take it all. Receive everything that God has provided for you. He supplied us with everything that we need to face life and the enemy that is trying to take us out in life. So He's given us truth. Because let's break this down. I think we have a slide for this. Listen what God has supplied us with. And that he references, you know, the body of armor. But we're going to look at the spiritual truths of what he has given us. He's given us truth. He's given us righteousness. He's given us the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer. Those are the things listed that we are supposed to put on and to take up every single day of our life as believers in Jesus Christ. These are defensive and offensive weapons. Have you ever wanted to do something, but you didn't have what you needed to get it done? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's a project at the house, and you would love to, add on, but you don't have the lumber, or maybe the knowledge, or you don't have the time to do it. Well, when it comes to being dressed properly and ready to defend against the enemy and go on the offense against the enemy, God has given you everything that you need. He's given you a full arsenal, a panoplia that you are able to access and take up and put on. And so these are the defensive and the offensive weapons that are at our disposal against a very real and a very active enemy. And so the question is this: what do we do with them? We put them on. How do we put them on? The Greek word for put on means to be clothed. It means sinking in, to invest, or to envelop. So there's going to be a lot of repetition because I want you to get this. Repetition is the key to knowledge. If you want to learn something, you need to hear it repeated over and over again. So what Paul is saying is, I want you to be clothed in, I want you to sink into, I want you to invest and be enveloped in truth, in righteousness, in the gospel of peace, in faith, in salvation, in the word of God, and in prayer. But one of the parts of the definition that spoke to me, that stuck out to me the most, is the word invest, to invest. He says, I want you to be invested with the armor of God. The word invest means to grant someone power. Or to furnish someone with power. It's like when a minister, when he's marrying someone, he would say, by the power vested in me, I pronounce you man and wife. And so Paul is saying, I want you to be vested with. And I want to invest. God is investing into you. He's furnishing you with the power that is necessary, and you need to be surrounded by it. You need to sink into it. And so decide this in your life. I am investing myself. I'm giving power to and surrendering to God, saying, I want you to clothe me in your righteousness. I want you to clothe me in your truth. I want you to clothe me in faith. I want you to clothe me in salvation. All these things that he's given to us, we're saying, I want to be surrounded by them. And I thought about this where it says sinking in. And my question is, what are you sinking into? Maybe you feel right now like you're sinking and you just can barely keep your head above water. You can barely stay happy enough to not be depressed. You can barely stay aware enough or involved enough to not lose connection with your children or with your spouse. Maybe you barely feel like you're limping through life and you feel like you're sinking. If you will sink into the armor of God and let his righteousness envelop you, let his peace envelop you, let his truth envelop you. Take up the shield of faith so that when things come to try to push you back down, they can't get to you because you're shielded by faith. You're covered by truth, and the truth makes you free. And so when you aren't sinking into the gift of the armor of God, you will find yourself sinking into other things. You'll find yourself in the bog of depression. You'll find yourself in the swamp of addiction. You'll find yourself weighed down by laziness or apathy or just, you know, worry, doubt, fear, whatever it may be. Because you don't have the remedy, you become susceptible to the problem. The remedy is the whole armor of God. If you'll sink into him, you won't sink into other things. You may walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You may endure affliction as a good soldier in Jesus Christ, but because of the armor that you are wearing, no arrow will pierce you. No sword will be able to slay you. No attack of the enemy will be able to take you down because you are protected by the armor of God. So when you get dressed, you are surrounding yourself. Think about this. When you put on your shirt today, what did you do? You surrounded yourself with your shirt. So what Paul is saying is surround yourself with truth. Surround yourself with righteousness. Surround yourself with peace. Surround yourself with faith. Surround yourself with salvation. Surround yourself with the word. Surround yourself with prayer. Don't let it just be something that you resort to at the worst moment. Let it be something, just like every single day you wake up and you get dressed, wake up and surround yourself with these things. Because if you do that, you won't sink. You may walk through difficult times, but you'll come out on the other side. To the point, when you look at me right now, you see a red shirt and blue jeans and boots. Why? Because that's what I put on this morning. To the point that now, when you dress yourself spiritually, when you go to work, people see truth. People see righteousness. People see peace. They begin to see you're clothed in these things, and maybe not in the natural, but they can see it in the spirit, and they realize that you are protected by God. That the enemy sees you, and when he sees you, he's like, I can't go over there. They're shielded by faith. I can't wreak havoc on their house. They're covered by peace. There's peace. I can't create confusion where God has ordained peace. He cannot supersede what God has ordained. And so you clothe yourself, you surround yourself in your house, in your family with these things. That's how you put on the armor of God. Next, he says, take up the armor of God. As we read it, he says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, or take up the panoplia, that you may be able to withstand the evil one, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Here's what I love about the definition of the word take up. It means receive. And this is so important for us to understand, because we have such an improper mindset, I think, a lot of times concerning what God has promised to us in his word. When he says receive, it means it's a gift. It's not earned. It's not something that he rewarded you with. It's a gift. It's not a salary. It's not something like, because you were a good Christian person, I will now give you this. No, he says, just receive it. Just take it up. You can't earn it. You have to accept it. God has provided this for you. Think about it. What is our own righteousness? It's filthy rags. So therefore, he who knew no sin became sin, so that we who were sinners could become the children of God. He gave up his righteousness so that we could become righteous. So Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Righteousness is a gift from God. It's not something that we can earn on our own. It's something that he said, I am, we use this word, imputing righteousness to you. It's like the idea of if you could not pay for your meal, but someone else paid for it for you. That's how righteousness works for you and I. God imputed, he gave us righteousness through the blood of his son. Think about peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give you my peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And then in Philippians, Paul said that the peace of God, it's not our peace, it's his peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, which surpasses all understanding. So God gives us peace. So we don't earn righteousness. We don't earn peace. How about faith? The Bible says in the book of Romans, to each man has been given a measure of faith. You don't earn faith. By grace you have been saved through faith, not of works. Why? Because if it was, then we would boast about it. The only way that we can be saved is by grace through the faith that he gave to us. And so when he says, take it up, he's saying, you have to receive these things. But our mind is, I want to earn my own righteousness. I want to show God I can be good. I want to show him that I can live right. I want to prove to him and to everybody else I can be righteous, or that I can have peace. When you try to have peace on your own terms, it will not turn out as peace. Unless you choose to have the peace that comes from God that will surpass all understanding. Faith, salvation. We already covered that, and by grace you've been saved through faith. So salvation doesn't come from works, doesn't come from you and me, comes from him and from him alone. How about the word of God? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus. You and I didn't do anything to earn Jesus. We didn't do anything we didn't come up with him on our own. In fact, Jesus says, you didn't choose me. Guess what? I chose y'all. Over in John chapter 15. And so we're beginning to see that all these things that are promised as the armor of God, not one of them are earned by us. All of them have to be received by us. And so then prayer. He said, because I think that a lot of times this gets left out, but he says, you know, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then there's a semicolon. He says, praying always with prayer and supplication. Prayer is a weapon against the enemy. The word of God is a weapon, but so is prayer. And what is prayer? Prayer is not an obligation that you have to fulfill in order to be a certified Christian. Prayer is a gift from God. It's an opportunity to talk to the only one that has all of heaven and earth at his disposal. It's the ability to call on God and say, I don't know what to do, but I trust that you do. And then listen and listen and listen so that you can hear the answer that comes from God. And so all these things, we have to take them up. We have to receive them. The armor of God is a gift. It's not a salary. But so often, we just feel so unworthy. Here's the thing about it. None of us are worthy. And none of us ever will be worthy. At some point, we have to stop trying to measure up and just surrender and say, God, I receive. I give into your grace. I know I can't earn it. I know that I will never be enough, but through you, I know that I can get to the place that you want me to be and that you've called me to be so that I can live successful and live godly in Christ Jesus. And I can help other people come to know you. But it's not going to come from my own doing. It's not going to come from me being a better version of me. It's going to come from me taking up and receiving what you've already given to me. Truth, righteousness, all these things. And they're all gifts. So we have to receive that. He'll give it. Now, I want to begin to end by giving you some practical application. I don't want to just say, take up the whole armor, put on the whole armor. I want to give you some practical application. I want to give you a step-by-step of here's what you need to do in order to clothe yourself. And I want to use a parallel of natural life so that you understand what it is that God is calling you to do in the Spirit. We have to be dressed in him spiritually with the armor of God. And in fact, there's another portion of scripture that Paul would write in the Colossians. He says, put on therefore, beloved, tender mercies and kindness and affection above all love, which is the bond of perfection. And I missed some of them in there. So there's other parts of the Bible that talk about being clothed, putting on. And then it says that we are clothed in righteousness. And so I want to take this natural parallel of getting dressed, getting ready, and I want you to apply it to your life spiritually. What do I mean by that? When you get up in the morning, and let's say you're going to go to work tomorrow morning, you probably, whether you know it or not, you have a routine, right? Maybe you shower first, and then you brush your teeth, and then you comb your hair, and then you put your clothes on. Or maybe you wake up and you brush your teeth first and then you get in the shower. And the main point I'm trying to get to here is hopefully you're doing both of those things every day, okay? Hopefully you're brushing your teeth and you're taking a shower every day. But then you're going to get dressed. Maybe you're going to go and check your phone. Maybe you're going to turn the news on the TV. This is my remote control now. Maybe you're going to pour yourself a bowl of cereal. Maybe you're going to make some coffee. Maybe you're real old school. You're going to read the newspaper. I don't know. Do people still read newspapers? Do anybody in here still read the newspaper? No, everybody just swipes left on their phone and looks at the news app on their phone or whatever, however you get your news. But you're going to have a routine, and then you're going to get into your car, and you're going to drive to work, and you're probably going to drive to work the same way that you drove to work the day before. Unless you're just one of those wildly creative, strange people that are like, I think I'll take a new way to work today so that I can see a new landscape. No, you probably just get in the car and drive exactly to work. And you know what the thing is we do those things every single day without even thinking about them because they've become routine. And we don't think that's weird. We don't think it's weird that Pastor Jeff goes to work the same way every day. We don't think it's weird that you probably either brush your teeth first and then take a shower or take a shower and then brush your teeth. But we are all creatures of habit. But when it comes to spiritual matters, I've noticed that very few people have any kind of spiritual routine in their life. That when you wake up, I try to make sure I'm not perfect at it. Part of that is because sometimes you have a child wake up at 4 a.m. saying, my tummy hurts. And that happened to me this morning. But I try for the Lord to be the first person I speak to in the morning. Because I want to start my day with him. I want to seek first his kingdom. I try to make first sure that I read the word of God before I read what somebody says on Facebook about the word of God, even if it's a good thing. I try to make sure that I have a routine of this is how I seek the Lord. This is how I pray. Because as you do those things, you are building a spiritual routine and you don't realize what you're doing is just like if you didn't take a shower, you didn't brush your teeth, you did not get dressed, you did not eat breakfast, you would go throughout your day unprepared for what was ahead of you. Like I said earlier, if you showed up to work tomorrow undressed, don't try to show up Tuesday. Just don't go back, right? In fact, if you put this to a test, just go ahead and join the Witness Protection Program because none of us want to ever hear from you again. No, I'm just kidding. We'll pray for you. We'll help you. We'll walk you through it. But it's funny. We do all these natural routines so that we're ready. And then we show up to work and somebody cops an attitude with us. And all of a sudden, righteousness isn't on our tongue. Peace isn't what we're exuding at the moment. Joy is definitely not what people are getting off of us, right? But what did the Bible say? That the fruit that we're supposed to bear is love and joy and peace and patience. But because you didn't get ready in the spirit, you respond in the flesh. Because you did not decide, I'm taking up, I didn't earn it, but I'm still going to use it. I'm taking up truth today. I'm taking up righteousness today. I'm putting on peace today. I am deciding that I'm going to remind myself that I'm renewed in my mind and I've been saved by grace. I've been saved through faith. I'm going to use the shield of faith. I'm going to get in the Word of God and I'm going to read it because this Word is a sword of the Spirit. That's going to equip me and prepare me to be not just on the defense, but also on the offense against the enemy. I'm going to use prayer because prayer is going to envelop me and surround me and hide me in the shadow of his wings. It's funny how we want to read Psalm 91 and we want all the benefits, but we don't want to hide in the secret place. If you want the protection that comes in Psalm 91, then you're going to have to find the secret place. The secret to the protection is in the secret place. And that's what you're doing. When you create a spiritual routine in your life where you seek God in the morning and you decide, you know what? It's not going to be if I have time, I'll seek God. It's going to be I'm seeking God and I'm making the time to seek God because I am not going to leave my house. Just like I wouldn't leave today without shoes on, I'm not leaving without peace. Just like I wouldn't come to church without a shirt on, I'm not leaving the house without righteousness. Just like I didn't leave the house before I at least looked in the mirror and ran my fingers through my hair a little bit to make sure I didn't have any crazy ones sticking here or there. What few I have left, I'm going to make sure are at least in place, right? Just like I did that, I'm not leaving without the helmet of salvation. I'm not leaving without the belt of truth. Because I don't want to be caught with my pants down. Come on, somebody. I want to make sure that I'm covered, I'm protected, right? Make it a routine in your life. So many people have a negative connotation towards the word routine. Well, I don't want it just to become routine. Well, because you haven't made it a routine, you don't ever do it. And because you don't ever do it, you ain't got no righteousness. You don't have any peace. You don't have any joy in your life. So maybe try it. Maybe make it a routine. Make it a discipline in your life that I don't want to go a day. No, actually, change that. I don't want to go a moment without the gift that God has empowered me with to be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy. Because listen, if you're not clothed and you're not protected, you walk out that front door, you get in your car, you drive to work, or you go to the grocery store, wherever you are, trust me, there's an enemy somewhere that's going to try to shoot an arrow at you and take you out. And if you're not prepared and equipped, it's not because he didn't give you the opportunity. It's because we either were ignorant concerning the fact, or we just decided it's not that important today. Prayer, reading of the Word, spending time with God, I cannot emphasize to you how important they are as Christian principles and disciplines in your life. It's not just so you get a gold star in heaven and when you show up and St. Peter lets you in the gate and he goes, wow, look at you, perfect attendance in church. You read the Bible through 50 times. You prayed this many hours. Like, we imagine like we're going to get to heaven, there's going to be like a Spotify Wrapped for everything that we did concerning our Christianity. And no, it's like we need to understand all of these things that we're doing, they're for us. Those are not things that God wants from you. They're things God wants for you. And we've got to change our mindset. God wants me to read the Bible. God wants me to, God's made me to, no. God wants that for you, not for him. How does reading the Bible help God? You know what it does help? It helps you. How does prayer help God? It doesn't help God. It helps you. He wants these things so that you can walk in them, so that you can put them on, so that when the enemy tries to come against your family, it bounces off. It's repelled. It's taken care of. Like the blood of the lamb on the door of the Hebrews as the angel of death passed over. When you are protected, there are things that cannot get to you. If God doesn't want it to get to you, when you're covered and you're protected in the armor of God, it will not penetrate. It will not get there. But you've got to be clothed in it. Paul didn't say, hey, guess what? All these things God provided, they're already on you. He said, put them on. He said, take them up. Why? Because that's an action that you and I have to do. To encircle, invest, surround ourselves, and receive these gifts that he's given to us. Amen? Stand to your feet with me today. I know that this is very practical. It's very simple. But the sad thing is a lot of times we don't do the simple things that God tells us to do, and then we wonder why we don't see God do profound things. And he's like, hello, I already gave you some simple things, and you haven't done those yet. And so let's be people that do the simple things and trust God to do the big things. And let's allow him to be God. And let's just do what he's called us to do and receive what he's given us to receive. Trust me, you'll be a lot happier when you live life the way that God designed for you to live. Amen. Can you bow your head with me today, Father? I thank you for the gift of the armor of God. I thank you that it's complete, it's perfect, it's not lacking anything. And I thank you that you are our rear guard. You protect us. You've given us offense against the enemy. You've given us defense against the enemy. And I pray right now over your people, if you're saying, I want to receive the armor of God, would you just lift your hands today? Father, I pray that as we are receiving from you today, we say, we know we can't earn this armor. We know we don't deserve it. But God, we're not going to let that keep us from using it, walking in it, and allowing it to defend and protect us and with the righteousness and the peace and the truth and the salvation that you have given to us. So God, we receive it. And I pray that you would help us to take the practical application, just like we have a natural routine. God, help us to develop a spiritual routine that equips us and protects us and helps us so that when we are attacked by the enemy, when we're tempted, maybe by our own passions, our own lust, maybe by somebody else, we can, having done everything to stand, we can still stand. The whirlwind may come and it may pass, but the righteous will still be standing. We believe and we trust that you're a good God and you've provided everything that we need, and we receive it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you receive, take up, and put on the whole armor of God. Everything that he's provided, may you be clothed in it, and may you walk not a moment outside of his prescribed blessing and plan for your life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We love you so much. Have an awesome week. We hope to see you Wednesday night at the Christmas party. It's going to be an awesome time together.